Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
You can't beat a wet day in June, can you? You know what that means? The grass will be growing again. Oh dear. Anyway, that's me today, really. I've been outside all morning in the rain, so I'm had a long day. So it's going to cheer up now, because there's a lot of talk about what may and may not be part of this Newark Sports Hub, assuming, of course, that the Newark Sports Hub is ever going to get built. Jason and Finlay Cranage are popping along in a few minutes' time. They're going to be talking about BMX, because young Finlay... What are you fiddling with again?
I'm just getting the microphone in place.
He's a fiddler. I've got a fiddler working with me. He has half an hour to get everything set up, and then he goes and fiddles with the microphone. Finlay, of course, is well into his BMX season, so he's going to talk about that, and Daddy's hopefully going to pop in and talk about what the hub is going to mean to BMX, because all the talk now, of course, is that we may get a BMX track on there. We will see. As it's Tuesday, we're going to find out what Amber and the rest of Newark Athletic Club have been up to. They was in Grantham at the weekend. It's the Gordon Wellborn week, day two. So we're going to try and catch Rob Orgill again to see how many seconds Adams won by tonight.
Seconds?
Yes.
Minutes.
But first of all, of course, we'll do what we always do, and that... is the headlines. And Beeston Hockey Club have announced the return of their former captain and ex-Newark Hockey Club player Adam Dixon for the new season. He spent last season playing for Hockey Club Rotterdam. Amelia Crispin wins, she always wins, the Help for Heroes Junior Duathlon at Rother Valley, a 200 metre open water swim, a 4K cycle ride and an 1800 metre run. First girl home and third overall. Finlay Cranager, we're hoping to see come through the door any moment now, finishes third in round six of the Midland Series at Leicester. And as I say, he's hopefully going to be here to talk all about it. And Craig Roche has looked to Mansfield for Newark Flowserve's latest signings. Ex-Renith and Ollerton player Chris Rhodes is joined by Kristen Burrell, and they both arrive for the start of the new season.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
And with me, as ever, is the ex-sports editor, the only sports editor in the history of the Newark Advertiser, Mr. Tony Smith. Tony, I think Roche and Vennie are making a bit of a statement fairly early in the summer, don't you? The two lads that they've gone for, I must admit, I don't know, but when you look at the pedigree, Chris Rhodes, midfield player, has played for Ollerton and Renith. And Tristan Burrell has come from Central Midland side Sherwood Colliery. And the boys went over to Mansfield, signed him, and these guys are travelling over from Mansfield. I think Flowserve are making a very big statement very quick in the summer.
Well, when you consider the quality of the signings that they've made, it's quite remarkable. I mean, Flowserve were in a strong position when the guy came in from far afield. Now you've got two young lads. Is it Kirkham?
Yes.
Yeah, and now you've got the two local lads in Roche and Vennie, who, I mean, the signings of Nathan Burrows, Callum Barnes, Lewis Chambers, Ricky Brewer. My God. You're talking footballing new royalty there.
You see, you know, people can say what they like. The not senior league, I've always thought, is an easier league to get out of into Step 6 football. In Central Midlands, you've always got a couple of sides who are throwing money all over the place. Different sides every year, but there's always somebody doing it. And if you're not, like Newark Town are not, it's going to make it very difficult to get out of.
I think the setup at Newark Flowserve is really likely to make them the premier Newark football club, and make them a club above Newark Town in terms of how people perceive them.
The one problem that they've got, And the one problem that they're going to have in the foreseeable future is the ground. You've got to get security of tenure on it. You've got to get floodlights up there, because you can put the best team in the world together. If you don't get floodlights up there, you're going nowhere.
Yeah.
That's got to be sorted out, and I'm told it's being sorted, and I really sincerely hope it is, because it's more than I could ever manage when I was there.
I've been told that there's nothing in writing, and it's just word of mouth and handshake stuff at the minute, and you do need something concrete for the long-term future.
You do, and especially as the company's owned by Americans, and I don't trust Americans. Look at the president they've got to start with.
Fair comment.
So, you know, that's, you know, I rest my case.
I don't think you can tar all Americans with a Trump brush.
No, no. That's a thought in itself, isn't it, really, a Trump brush? But there you go.
It is certainly a gobsmacking and incredibly dangerous decision to make, that bloke president of America.
Oh, I thought you meant Venny and Roche managers at Flowserve.
No, honestly, I was describing their signings as football, Newark football royalty.
Yeah, I think.
And the guys behind the hot seat, the guys in the hot seat, Craig Roche and Venny, you are not going to get a better pair of guys.
No, Town have got it all on to keep the power at Station Road, and I think
I think it's already slipped.
You know, I think it's slipping. But we shall see, and we shall look after them both when the new season starts, and hopefully we can have a good football season.
I've been writing in the paper for 30 years now.
Yes, you did, didn't you?
If we actually got the one Newark side together and everybody got behind the same banner, it would be a side to take on anything in Nottinghamshire.
Ah, well, I tried that one. Tried that with half of Newark and made friends with the other half of Newark. Not going down that line again.
It's something, I mean, like, sort of every 7 years, whichever editor it was of the Advertiser asked me to do a story in the paper, why not Newark? And we did it 3 times. Yeah. Over the course of my 25-year tenure there, and
but, you know,
everybody says at the time you do it, what a cracking idea, if only somebody would do that.
But if Bristol City and Bristol Rovers, if Forest and County, if Sheffield Wednesday and United club together to make one, I go back to Newcastle and Leeds, if you like, one club cities, they're so much stronger for it.
Yeah, yeah.
They really, really are. Anyway, what's the difference between Ronaldo and Messi? I'll tell you. Back-to-back Champions Leagues, European Ballon d'Or and La Liga titles in the last 12 months, and he's paid his taxes.
Well, you stole my thunder with that one.
Yes, I thought I might somehow.
Because I was going to say, and the other tax trick.
Cristiano Ronaldo has now scored 105 goals in the Champions League. He scored more goals in this season in Champions League than Sunderland scored in the Premier League from Christmas onwards.
He is a remarkable footballer. Isn't it just a shame he knows it?
Yeah. He has scored twice as many Champions League goals as other players. 20 in the quarterfinals, 13 in the semi-finals and 4 in finals. He has won the Champions League on 4 occasions and he scored 11 more goals in it than Messi has. He's Cristiano Ronaldo, the world's best ever footballer. And the way I would say yes, he can do it in the big matches. You agree, don't you? Finley agrees out there. He can do it in the big matches. You know, when Cantona was supposed to be the greatest footballer to ever grace Manchester United, he could put 4 goals past Burnley and kung fu kick at Crystal Palace, no problem whatsoever. You put him in a France shirt or FA Cup final, he was nowhere. You put Ronaldo in a big match, and he does it. Go on, you're squinting, which means you're gonna grumble.
No, I'm just thinking when Manchester United beat Liverpool in the FA Cup final, who was the winning goal scorer?
That was a one-off.
But I just, you know,
everybody can have a fluke.
I wouldn't praise...
And he's French.
I wouldn't praise Cristiano Ronaldo because he doesn't need it. He says it all himself.
When you're good, you can be big-headed.
No.
Yes, you can.
You can't be an arrogant idiot.
When you're good, you can be big-headed. You can't be big-headed when you're rubbish, which is why we know we're rubbish at this.
Yeah.
Moving swiftly on.
His saving grace is I do like Real Madrid.
Well, they are the number one. Problem. They may not be the biggest, because Man United are apparently the biggest, aren't they? But
I can't stand Barcelona, which makes me a really good Real Madrid fan.
It does, doesn't it? A few weeks ago, Nettie Stevens came in here, if you recall, with Julie Gray on the phone, and was going to get them to go canoeing. Then it didn't happen, for one reason or another. It did happen on Friday, and if you go and look on our Facebook pages, there's some pictures of Nettie taking to the water. She was brilliant. She had a bit of a wobble when sort of we got on that jetty, and it moved. Mind you, I did as well when I was there. But Julie got her into the canoe. They didn't go on the Trent. They went off sharp right down the Devon.
I went canoeing once when I was in the Scouts, and I had more than a wobble, and I'm not blind. She is incredible. I was terrified. But I bet Nettie, after the initial wobble, was like a superstar.
Tony, you've got more buoyancy aids.
Yeah. Fair point. Give me that
one. No, she was brilliant. She come back and we got her out of the canoe and I'm flying. Well, actually, you've been sailing, but I'm flying. And she was absolutely full of it. And really big thanks to Julie. Because she was what Julie always is, and that's absolutely the perfect host. And she really did help Nettie, talk Nettie through. We even got a special oar for Nettie, so she could grip. She knew where to grip, and it was lovely.
If Cristiano Ronaldo had the character of Julie Gray or Nettie Stevens,
yeah, then
I would say he was the best bloke in the world.
Then he would be close to being perfect,
then
wouldn't he?
Then he would be, yeah. You know, a human. Yeah.
One one little one for you, because he's half local. Ilkeston Town.
Hmm.
Gone bust again. Is it the second time in, what, 5 years? They've been closed down at the High Court in Liverpool. No, don't go there, Michael. The High Court in Liverpool, they've got debts though of 14.5 grand that they're shut down for. Oh, that's not much, is it? In this day and age of a football club, it was only one debtor that chased the money, but for 14.5 grand, and the High Court closed them down, so they got. But the Ilkeston manager is Sean Gota.
Really?
Yes.
Good lord.
But even before the High Court shut them down on Monday. They've got no player signed on and no friendlies arranged.
Perhaps where the money's gone, they're feeding the goat.
Yeah. So, Sean Gota, would you believe?
That's remarkable. So. But honestly, what a lovely, lovely little football club.
Yes, I've seen the pictures of the ground. It looks a lovely ground.
They used to have a secretary called Tony Cuthbert, and Notts County always played a pre-season friendly there when I was following the fortunes of Meadow Lane for the Advertiser. And every time we played a pre-season friendly against Ilkeston Town, both at their old ground many, many years ago and then at the new ground. And it's such a lovely club. Absolutely lovely club.
But you know, it doesn't take many weeks for a sports ground to stop being a sports ground. I say that. I was privileged to be asked to present the trophies at RHP's presentation on Saturday afternoon for the seniors, mainly because the boss man of RHP was away umpiring, so I got the job. But that's okay, that's fair enough, I'll do the jobs for you.
I was disappointed to miss out, but I didn't realise they'd stoop so low.
But the cricket, it's not been used for cricket this season, obviously, because...
Did you see the square?
The square is sort of a foot deep in grass. That's gone. That's never going to come back. That's lost already. And that's another cricket ground gone.
When you consider on that square, Nottinghamshire played 11 first-class county championship games on that square. Derek Randall made his debut there and hit a six into the pavilion. Gary Sobers has played there on more than one occasion. And I popped into RHP and saw the square. And it broke my heart.
And you could burst out crying, couldn't you?
Yeah, easily, because it's a very special place.
Yes, I know it's probably going to be the sports hub in the year 2525, if Manny's still alive. That's a song, isn't it? You see, I can do songs as well. Man, you'd probably be at least 25 thoughts of sports. So, but it's gone, hasn't it? That's it. Forgot. Gone. Another one. Out of the way. I don't know. Anyway.
I'm not sure whether we'll still be sat here when the sports hub is eventually built.
I'm absolutely positive we won't be. Jason Cranage may tell me different in a few minutes. We'll see.
Mm. We'll see.
May's Wall of Fame. When I look back through what happened in May, get the committee together who deliberate on who wins these prestigious Radio Newark monthly awards.
That's you, the committee, isn't it?
Yes.
I've had a meeting with myself.
Yes.
Colin Amos.
Well, I'm the only person I can't fall out with. Yes, because Colin Amos' favourite saying, wasn't it? I've had a meeting with myself. Good old Colin. Miss Colin.
Bless him, yeah, I miss him like Colin. Loads.
Yeah, Miss Colin. The team of the month for May. And you can find all these on our website and Facebook pages, because my producer has been busy sorting them all out and putting them on for me. He may give me rubbish music, but he does work hard when we want to. The team of the month, and let's have a quick drum roll. Don't laugh while the drum roll's on.
That's a very impressive drum roll.
It is a good drum roll. As drum rolls go.
Has it stopped?
Cootereed Football Club.
Oh, yeah.
The first time that school's won the Newark Primary School's football tournament outright in ever. Ever and ever and ever. The first time those kids have won it for Cootereed. So they are the team of the month for May. The sports person, the moment of the month I'm making you wait for.
Okay.
The sports person of the month. Again, it's very difficult to sort of go beyond Anna Smith and Amy Hunt. It is almost impossible to go beyond them two. But I have. Drum roll again. Same one. It's good, isn't it?
It's brilliant.
But you see, because the sports person's so good, he gets a fanfare as well. You wouldn't believe I found these things, would you?
No.
Sportsperson of the month.
It beggars belief.
To becoming, because he's become the national champion, which means he is the best. We already knew that, but he's now officially the best at ultras because he's won the national championship. Our very own Adam Holland is the sportsperson of the month. Not for the first time, not for the last time, but the wonderful Mr. Holland wins that award. The moment of the month you're going to have to wait for. It's Tuesday. It's just gone 20 past seven. That can only mean one thing on Radio Newark Sport. Good evening, Amber.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right, thanks. Are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Good. You're not out training in all this wind and rain and cold, are you?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, dear. That is too keen. You've got to be a really spot-on reporter and presenter tonight, because I don't know anything about what happened at the North of England meeting on Sunday at Grantham.
Okay, well, I know everything, so you're okay.
I'm going to sit back and listen to your report. Over to you, Amber.
Right, okay. Well, Lauren Owens equaled her PB in pole vault, so she was quite happy with that because it was originally 2:17 and she got 2:70. For the men's 4x100 metres, because obviously we're teamed up with Rushcliffe for this, and we ended up storming to a victory in that, so that's really good, because we had a mixed team. And then the 4x400 for men, we were third. And then Tom Evans won both his races. He did 100 and 200, so he had a really good races. And then Tom Hubbard, he's a 5k runner, and he's a bit older than me, I think he's about 19, and he got near his PB, and he was thinking about third in his race. Luke Sayer got a PB in pole vault, his was 2:40, so he got a new age club record for Newark. And then there was more ladies that came as well, and also overall, because I think that was the second match, and now in the league table we're third, so Rushcliffe have helped us move up the table, so we're third. So I think if we get first or second by the end, we move up a league, so hopefully we move to league next time.
Excellent stuff. So a good day all around then. And what's this? And what's this I hear about one Mrs. Rebecca Gallup having a go at shot put?
Oh yeah, Becky had a go at shot put, bless her.
Now, even with my limited knowledge of, you can hear Tony. He's just.
Well, it was really good because we had loads of ladies that came. And loads of ladies, that, you know, they all were doing all the events. I mean, we ended up having like 100 more points than we did on the first
day. I mean. She tells, she put on Facebook that she managed to throw it 4 metres.
Did she put all her weight behind it?
The point is, of course, it all gets you points, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
And you've got to be a good sport when you sort of weigh 4 stone nothing and you're 5 foot to have a go at shot put.
Yeah, everyone has a go at everything just for the points. It's great.
I think that's absolutely brilliant. I think it is. What have you got this come? What's coming up next then?
Well, I know a few people have got horse races tomorrow. Me and Tom Evans have got. It's a look for competition. I think it's like the look for university people versus other clubs. So we're doing that tomorrow night. Me and Tom Evans are. But yeah, a lot of people. I think lots of the Lincolnshire have schools races.
Right.
They have their like qualifying ones. But yeah.
And have you got?
I don't think there's anything on the weekend.
You got a weekend off?
Yeah, got a weekend off.
Right, that's unusual.
Yeah, unusual.
But you've got tomorrow night, so we'll still talk to you again next week.
Okay.
Amber, there's one thing that we do want to end up, because we've just given out our Team of the Month award to May to one of the local schools, Chucherina, who won their football tournament for the first time ever.
Yeah.
And the Sports Person of the Month went to Adam Holland because he won the English Ultra Championship.
Yeah, well, speaking of Adam Holland, what did he win again?
It was the English Ultra. 32 miles, it seems an awful long way.
Yeah, well, he's running today because we've got at Newark now, we've got the...
You've got the Gordon Wellborn, haven't you?
Yeah, Gordon Wellborn week and everyone's running around and I think he's here running
that. He will be running around in that one, yes. But we also...
He's winning. I think he's in the lead.
There's a shock. We also, Amber, have a Moment of the Month award.
Oh, I've heard about this.
And with the help of your father, and the videos are now apparently on Facebook and our website, the Moment of the Month, the sporting moment of the month, has to go to the Twins.
It does.
Couldn't go... It really couldn't. A, because... They proved beyond all doubt that they are twins, because if one does it, the other one promptly followed. B, they got up and carried on and didn't make a drama out of it. And C,
yeah,
it was just so hilarious listening to your dad laughing.
It was just great having it all on film. And, you know, one after the other, and you just watch one, and then you just watch the other, and it's like, why? You think the other one would learn from the first one? No. Both have to do exactly the same.
So, Lauren and Tilly Owens, you both jointly have won the Radio New York Moment of the Month award, and they say, anybody please go on Facebook, go on our website, go on Twitter, because my producers put them all on there, and have a look at the Twins. Prove they are twins. Amber, don't get cold out there, get training again, get yourself warm, and we'll talk again next week and see what's happened to you in the last. Oh, one more thing I forgot to mention.
Okay.
Well, two things actually. Head girl, very good, congratulations.
Thank you.
And I assume the boyfriend's a Newcastle United supporter.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, nothing is kept a secret. So because he's a Newcastle United supporter, look after him. He must be a good lad.
Okay.
Alright. Talk to you next week.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
Just for the uninitiated, like myself, when it comes to modern technology, because I'd love to see that video. Can you talk me through how you would get hold of that video on the Radio Newark page?
Well, if you go onto the Radio Newark website and scroll down to sport, it's there, and just press it and it comes up and it will play, or go onto Facebook or Twitter and the story's on there as well and it plays out in front of you.
As soon as you started talking to her, I just knew what the moment of the month was going to be.
It's easy to do because this young man's on Facebook and Twitter every week. Well, no, every day, to be quite honest with you. So that had to be the moment. Right.
Magic.
While we get ourselves organised, I'll let you listen to this.
Radio Newark, the home of Newark Sport. Monday to Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. with Mick and Tony. Radio Newark, the home of Newark Sport. Missed one of our shows? Don't forget you can check out the podcasts and get the very latest sports news daily on our website at radionewark.co.uk.
Newcastle United Guest fan time. Wouldn't be very good.
Newcastle United fan is very good.
No, he's not.
You see me guest here in the studio. He started on me already.
Talking football, and he starts talking about Forest.
He does. He's got a Forest top on. He's a good lad. We're very welcome to not only Finlay Cranage and his dad, but sister's with us as well. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. What's your name then?
Lola.
You're Lola. Okay, we'll have a chat with you as well then. You're not going to come here and get away with it. So we're going to talk BMX. We're going to talk about the season so far, and we're going to talk all these things I keep seeing about, oh, we're going to have a BMX track in Newark. It looks like it might be a little bit closer, but Tony and I are pessimists. We're not optimists. We're hoping you're an optimist, else it's going to be a long half an hour.
I think realists.
Yeah, realists is a good word. Can we start with yourself and Finlay? We're into the sixth round of the Midlands BMX series. How do you both think it is going? Because where I sit, he seems to be in the top three every week.
Yeah.
Are you satisfied? How's it going?
To me, he's doing very well for his first season. He's obviously a novice, you don't get as many riders, but it's all about experience, and he's enjoying it, which is the main thing.
Are you enjoying it, Finlay? Is it good?
Yeah.
It is good. You get it, and it is literally what they say, the Midlands series, so you're out what almost seems to be every Saturday.
It's usually every week or every 2 weeks, but sometimes you have a national as well, which he's not racing because they don't have novice. So you get a break then, but then you get probably three on the trot.
So this is his first season in the Midlands.
Yes.
Season. What did he do last year then? Because it was
winter series.
Winter series. So what being the?
That was just at Bullwell every one a month.
Right.
So it was just usually riders from
and
around.
Do you sort of have to qualify through that, or is it your choice to go into the Midlands?
It's your choice for the novice, or you could go straight into expert, where you earn points and race in the British Championship. But it just did novice this year, where you get a trophy or a medal, no points, so you can't.
I mean, we tend to forget, don't we, because his name's been around that long. How old are you, Finlay?
Six.
Exactly. And we tend to forget that, don't we? Because the name's been theirs, you know.
Yeah.
Forever. So you tend to forget that six, and you can't. I'll call you dad, because you can't, dad, push him too hard too soon, can you?
I didn't want to. I mean, people were saying to me, put him straight into expert. But straight into expert and you're at the back every race, he's not going to enjoy it. So I thought I'd have a season in novice where there's not as many riders, but you're possibly going to be at the front or middle of the pack just to get a bit of experience. And then hopefully next year, if he wants to, go up to expert and earn some points, ready for next year's British Championship if you qualify.
Well, nobody enjoys any sport, do they, if they're sitting...
Well, this is it.
If they're sitting at the back, and, you know, especially if it gets repetitive. But where he is now... What's a moto? Is
it? It's the qualifying round.
Right.
You have three qualifying motos. And then if there's a lot of riders, quarter-final, semi-final.
You see, I write about it every week, and I say to everyone, I'm going to ask him what that is.
Yeah.
So that's your qualifying rounds. So you have to qualify for the final then?
If there's more than eight riders, you have to qualify for the final. But if there's less than eight, so because there's eight in a race maximum, If you have less than eight, you have like a point system where the least points wins second and third. So you have a final then, but it's just a points one. You add it up to your three motos.
So, Finlay, you've got your three qualifying rounds then to qualify for the final.
Yeah.
What do you... How do you do it? Do you go out fast? Is it just one lap, or is it... How many laps is it?
There's sometimes three or four.
No, it's one lap.
Yeah.
So do you go out fast to try and get to the front then, or do you look at the front and try and just hang on to who's
go
there?
Fast.
You go fast.
Have well, you not that fast, because at Birmingham, when I pedal too much out the gate, I crashed on the first jump. But I still beat two and got second overall.
How did you crash then? Were you just going too fast over the
jump?
Straight over the handlebars on the first jump of the first regional. And
it was
the first race of the day. 500 riders there.
And what happened when you crashed then? Did you get up and go? Well, you did get up and go again, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well done, young man. That's good. What was Dad thinking?
Well, I was behind him on the gate at the time. And he hit this jump and he went straight over the top. And I looked, and then my wife went down, but they don't let you on the track. And as I went down to see if he was all right, he was back on his bike and racing that.
Good lad. Good lad. It was Leicester last weekend.
Yeah.
Is that a nice track?
Yeah.
Are all the tracks the same?
No.
No?
Similar in... Most of them are similar, like four straights, but some of them just... Four straights still, but a long first corner. So it comes like a U inside a U.
What's your favourite then, the straights or do you like... I mean, I think you're a bit of a speed man, aren't you? You like speed, don't you? I've worked that one out already. So you must like the straights the best.
Yeah. I like the last straight.
Because you can see the home straight then. You can see the flag then, that checkered flag. Lovely. So what position, do you know what position you are overall? Or do you let Dad
it's
work that
points.
Out?
There's no points.
There's no points for it.
But he's not got a first yet. But if it was points, I would say he'd be probably third.
What got you into BMX? Well, I think I know, but what got you into BMX?
Daddy, he raced when I was little, and then I came to watch him a lot, and then Daddy brought me a balance bike, and then I went on the track a lot, and then I watched Daddy again, and then I said to Daddy, can I race one day? And then he said yes, when we get some pads.
I watched Daddy when I was little. He's six.
Had a couple of races. Well, one last year in the winter series, and when he was little.
Do you still race much at all?
No, I haven't.
You're not?
Since then?
No.
Because I obviously had to keep an eye on him, but now he's getting confident going up on his own. So the bike might come back out next week's series.
Where are you next weekend then?
He can't make the next one because he's got a football tournament and I'm away for the weekend. That was at Warsaw, which is a shame because it's a local one.
On the doorstep and you're not there?
Yeah, I'm not there. Yeah.
So you play football as well then, do you?
Yeah.
You're a bit of an all-round sportsman. Who do you play football for?
Coddington Tigers.
Coddington Tigers. So what happened? Well, obviously you play football, but what... Will there have to be a decision eventually then, Dad? That
he missed the tournament last week because he was racing. But I'll leave it up to him at the end of the day. But I think at the minute the bike might win.
Let's talk about the bike a little bit, because it's not just any bike you can buy out of a shop, I don't suppose. For 1 minute, is it?
You can buy them out of the shop, but local shops won't sell the race ones.
No.
There's shops in Nottingham you can get them at.
And before anybody gets any bright ideas, it lives in the living room, so you can't get at it. What safety gear do you have to wear, Finlay? Because I've seen the pictures that we put on our website, and you really look like you're well tucked in.
Belly pads, back pads, gloves, helmet, and elbow pads.
And is that a rule then, Dad?
You've got to have every bit of skin covered, yeah.
And they check you before you go out there?
Yeah. Helmet fastened.
And the helmets, they check the helmets?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's good, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You do see some big crashes and you think that's going to hurt, but touch wood, everyone seems to get, or most people seem to get up.
The actual safety gear does,
yeah,
does work.
Yeah. Because all the corners are tarmac now as well, so when you go down...
So in your day...
It was just stone, and it was a bit softer than tarmac.
Yeah, it was, I know, but it also...
Well, it hurt, yeah.
It hurt, I would have thought. And then in your day, would you have to wear all the gear as well, though?
You didn't have to wear a full-face helmet, but you do now.
And the adults have to wear a full-face helmet.
Everyone has to wear a full-face.
Is there a BMX organisation, you know, British BMX organisation, or whatever the word is?
Run it now.
Oh, right.
It's all part of British
It's all come under British Cycling. Yeah. So they've actually finally accepted that BMX is part of...
Yeah, eventually.
Part of cycling.
Yeah.
It took a lot of getting there, but of course we've done quite well in the Olympics, haven't we?
Yeah.
On the BMX.
Not as well as we should, but... Liam Phillips, who's been the main rider for the last few years, he crashed in his first race at the Olympics, last Olympics, and got injured. But there's a couple more, two or three more that are...
So if he's six, and we're just trying to work out our trips to the Olympic Games.
Yeah.
You know, Tony and our trips. We might have to wait about 14 years to go with him.
That's okay.
No, in our look, we're back in London. Jason, I see you and one or two others have been putting on Facebook that a BMX track for Newark in this new sports hub is back on the agenda. Now, when it was the Newark Sports Association, the BMX track seemed to be not part of the plans.
Yeah.
Now it's the YMCA. Your sport seems to be a big gainer.
Yeah.
Now, we had the cycling club in a couple of weeks ago, and they was beating some and down beating others, but at least what they want seems to be back on the agenda as well.
Yeah.
What's your understanding about what may happen, and what are you trying to make happen?
Well, we had a meeting the other weekend with Steve Scott from the YMCA with Newark Cycling Club there at the same time. So, like you say, they're looking like they're getting what they want. And it was just interesting what we wanted and what sort of area and cost it would be. Like from just a fun track up to a regional standard track and a national standard track.
Is the track that's off Bobby's Road, is that, that's gone?
Well, you can find anyone who will tell you, then you're a better man than I am.
Yeah.
No idea.
Because like we're saying about the cricket square at Elm Avenue, if you don't use it, it very soon goes beyond use.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, I would assume, has happened there.
Yeah.
So where are they planning, or have you got to that stage yet, where are they planning on putting this BMX track?
We were looking at possibly in the middle of the road cycling track. Or, because all the plans aren't definite, moving things out of the way or getting rid of some things to get a BMX track on there. But at the minute, there's no full planning, so we don't know.
And the track that they are talking about, is that going to be a track that will take, like, Warsop and Leicester and all the other places
but
that you've been to?
To get a race standard track,
Is that what they're talking about, or are they talking about a leisure track?
He didn't really know, he just wanted some ideas. Obviously, what size we'd need, what area.
But you see, it keeps going back all the time, doesn't it? Because I thought there was further on than all this. And,
no.
You know, the cycling club shot me when they was talking about 2019.
Mm. You did say they want full planning this year and ready to start by the end of the year.
We have actually asked the YMCA if they'd like to come into this onto this show. Our guys have asked two or three times and... we don't seem to have had a response from them, which is disappointing.
I'm sure that RHP Cricket Club were told that all they would have to move to Winthorpe because the sports hub would be starting in April 2017.
Well, that didn't happen.
The building of it would be starting. That's why they had to move from Elm Avenue.
They said the only definite is the football pitch that's going on for Newark Town. At the minute, that's the only definite.
Would your British Cycling have to fund this, or is the funding going to come from?
Well, this was... YMCA obviously fund some of it, but they did say they'd be looking towards British Cycling to fund some of it as well. And obviously, if it does go ahead, then it'll be a membership scheme, so you'd have to pay every time you use it, which would go towards the upkeep of the track. And then if he does form a club, then obviously you'd be getting money from racing, and but that's far too thinking ahead.
Yeah. How many do you get watching, Finlay? How many, when you're racing, do you get many people watching?
Yeah.
There was just under 300 riders at Leicester. Derby, there was just under 500.
And of course, they don't come by themselves, do they?
They've got mums and dads and whoever else, brothers and sisters. So it's a full day out, it's always busy.
Takes up the weekend quite well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What does Lola do? Do you do sport then? I mean, do you ever go on BMX, or are you, don't you fancy BMXing?
I didn't used to do it. I used to, like, just go on the track when we went with Daddy, but I never raced.
You never raced? Do you fancy racing?
I don't know.
You think two of them doing it, Dad, would it be a bit...
There'd be no spare time, wouldn't
there? There'd be no spare time. Where can Finlay go with this? Then what do you see the progression? I mean, he's only six. He's only six, and he could grow out of it.
Yeah.
You know, it could become, I don't want to do BMX anymore. Do you think that might happen?
No,
I don't really either. But what the progression, obviously next season it is into this next band, and where do we go from there?
Well, it can go. From your regional expert, you can do nationals at the same time, but then you will be racing probably every weekend from April till November, December easily.
That would stretch the job, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, this is it. How much spare time you have.
See, it's like anything else, Tony, isn't it? And I mean, I know it's a well-worn statement, and it's one I go on and on and on about. Finlay can only do it because his dad.
Mm. Well, that's the thing with coaching. I mean,
can coach him, take him, mentor him, cuddle him, you know, isn't it?
I mean, his club have gate nights on Thursdays.
So what's his club?
Nottingham Outlaws. It's at Bullwell. So we went last Thursday because it was half term, but we didn't get back till 10. That's another reason to have one in Newark, you know, every night.
Yeah.
Just down the road, coach, train.
And of course, we don't know how many more Finlay Crannages there are in Newark that can't go and do what he's doing.
No.
Do you want to be a BMX racer that races in the Olympics then, Finlay? Is that what you want to do? You want to go all the way and race in the Olympics? Is that the aim?
Yeah.
It is. So will that win out over football then?
No.
You can't do both.
Fit it in with the World Cup.
Probably BMX.
Well, that might be a long way down the line. Then tell me, you've also been to see Forest play as well.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Did they actually win?
Yeah.
Well, you picked a good weekend then.
They've won not every time I've won, but a few times.
Well, if they win most times that you go, Dad, take him more often. I think we need to go more. So BMX, is it Saturday mornings?
Saturday mornings is coaching.
Right.
And then Sunday's race day.
So Sunday's race. So just, I'm intrigued. Just take me back through that Leicester weekend then, the last weekend.
Saturday morning went to Nottingham coaching, and Sunday afternoon the Leicester track had a gate session. So we went over there some Saturday afternoon just so we could get used to the track before the Sunday.
So Nottingham in the morning, Leicester in the afternoon, then come home.
Yeah.
And then go back to Leicester all day.
Sunday morning.
Who cuts the grass?
I did it on Bank Holiday Monday.
That's the bit. I hope you said thank you to Daddy. Because that's a really busy weekend. I bet he did. Okay, it's time for our exclusive coverage of the Golden Gordon Wellborn weekend. And it's back to Rob Orgill, who's back to where Amber Owens was on the Grove sports field. So it's, we may as well done the show live from there tonight. Rob, good evening.
Good evening, Mick.
It's a bit colder, it's a bit wetter.
It stopped raining now.
Oh, right. Oh, excellent.
Lovely.
It's glorious, is it?
Yeah.
Right. How many did you have tonight?
We've gone a little bit over 100 again tonight. Adam has once again dominated tonight's run. clear victory. And then we've had a Claire Hayes Gill, who won last night. She's not running tonight. So we've had Katie Simpson of the Southall Running Club. She's been the first lady to finish tonight. So hotly pursued by Diana Wakefield, not fast. So yeah, we've got that, and those two are doing all week, so they're getting a bit of competition there.
Yes,
for the Mary Wellborn Trophy.
So do we know the exact figure? Because 101 on Monday night was followed by.
I haven't added them up. We've had about 20 come to just do tonight, and we've got some who did last night and not tonight, if that makes sense.
This is the power of radio, you know.
I know, it is. It's really good, though, to see people running and enjoying themselves.
I mean, I'm
really, really good.
Pleasantly surprised that you're getting these amazingly high figures with this amazingly crap weather.
It's English summer, isn't it?
Yes.
So, it is good. I say, it was chucking it down with rain when we were setting up, and when just before the start, and then I won't say the clouds parted, but it's the rain has stopped. It's fairly breezy out here on the field, as you can probably hear from the
yes.
around the boat. But people are happy and they've enjoyed it.
A word, though, Rob, also, because... everybody, the Gordon Wellborn Week thinks of you and your good lady, but there is a team out there working hard as well, isn't there?
There is. There's a team of people from DKC. We've got some people from Not Fast helping. I'll give a plug for Newark Community First Aid. They're here, all with their emergency kit to help. A good night for them is not having to do much, but we couldn't go ahead without their support and attendance, and we're really grateful for that.
No, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing how often you see those guys at a sporting event just sort of sitting out of the way. Not wanting to be seen or known about, but if anything happened.
They are we as you said many times, we hope we don't keep them busy, but if you need them, it's reassuring to know that they are there. So they've got their ambulance on the field, they've got people dotted out around the course, so that's really, really good.
Okay, so where does Wednesday night take the Gordon Wellborn Road Show?
Right, tomorrow we're at the Flow Serve Club on Horton Lane. Tomorrow, another 5K. We're going to run from Flow Serve Club out and two laps of Balderton Lake and back. So again, about a 5K, very flat, mix of bit of tarmac on the old railway track, the Sustrans route, and some grass and track around the Balderton Lake. So that's tomorrow.
And Thursday night, of course, it's Farndon.
It's Farndon, yeah. Meeting it down at the riverside, and then a loop around Farndon, and then back down the track at the back of the school. Again, another 5K all off-road route. So, good.
We don't have a sports show on first this week, so I'll come and see you at Farndon. I'll grace you with my presence.
I'll put some better weather for you.
Well, I won't be seeing you if it's not. We couldn't speak to Rob Orgill two nights in a row without having a Rob joke. So, what a way to finish the show. I'm probably finishing the radio station with a Rob joke.
Oh, no, well, it's a fairly dreadful joke, but most of mine are. I went to the cinema the other day, and it reminded me of my grandparents, and their names were Pearl and Dean, or as we used to call them, Grandpapa, Papa, 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 Papa.
Oh, no! Tony's wrote that one down!
So really, my apologies to all listeners for making you suffer and listen to that.
Good still, Rob. We'll talk to you tomorrow night. I can't follow that, so we'll talk to you tomorrow night.
Okay, good night.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Bye. You liked that one, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
You liked that one. Just before we go back to... He'll stop laughing by 8 o'clock. You're all right. The jokes he likes best of off lollipop sticks. He's...
Classic.
Yeah. Before we go back to... our wonderful guest. The British and Irish Lions game plan is still in its infancy, according to attack coach Rob Howley, as the tourists prepare for Wednesday's games. How can it be still in its infancy when you've been preparing to go for the last 3 years?
They've seemed to have arrived a bit undercooked.
Now, what they've done is they've arrived on Wednesday night and played rugby on Saturday. Haven't they realised it's the other side of the world and the body may not actually sort of want to do what they've asked it to do?
Well, apparently some of the players can only sleep up to 3 hours at the most because of the problems with the jet lag.
Yeah.
So, you've got to be fully compos mentis to go out into a rugby match against New Zealand lads. You can't go undercooked into a tour like that. It's
no, and that's exactly what they've done. The New Zealand people have told them before they went there what they was doing wrong. Australian captain Steve Smith was frustrated by the conditions at the Oval after Australia's Champions Trophy against Bangladesh was abandoned. Shame.
No, that is funny.
Chasing 183, Australia were 83 for one when the rain arrived, 4 overs short of the minimum required for the game. It is Australia's second abandonment and they have to beat England to reach the semi-finals. The groundsman perhaps should have worked with more urgency. Oh dear, how sad, what a shame.
Australia are saying that England shouldn't be allowed to host the Champions Trophy because of the weather. We don't grumble when it's 97 degrees centigrade over there, do we?
I'll do it again. Oh dear, how sad, what a shame. Dear. And there's somebody who can't grumble the weather. He's just had a month's holiday. Okay, so does the weather affect you, Finlay? I mean, if it's raining or if it's really cold, do you just get on and do it, or is there a line somewhere where they won't let you be raised?
It rained. Was it raining your final?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was raining Sunday at the end of the last few races. But unless it's torrential, we just carry on.
Do you wear goggles or?
You can wear goggles.
You can wear goggles. Yeah. Do you wear goggles, Finn? Is it Finn? Do you call you Finn? Because my grandson's Finlay. He's a Finlay as well. So, are you a Finn?
Yes.
You're a Finn. Yeah. It's only Finlay when you've done something wrong, isn't it? Which, if you're anything like my grandson and anybody else who I know whose name is Finlay, is probably quite often.
That's why I get called Anthony all the time in here.
You get called a lot worse when these mics are down. So, it doesn't really matter if it's... I don't suppose you do it in icy conditions. No, that's obvious, isn't it? It's
snow and obviously ice. Yeah.
That really does.
Yeah.
So sort of knock it on the head. Apart from that, you just get on with it.
Yeah.
Good lad. Good lad. You see, another one of our stars of the future. It doesn't have to be football, hockey, and rugby. There are a lot more sports out there, and that's where I do applaud the YMCA.
Yeah.
In they are looking at other sports apart from the mainstream sports, because there's a lot of kids out there that want to do their own sport.
Yeah.
Newcastle Archers is another one. They've got a cracking youth section now. They're growing. And youngsters like Finlay are the lifeblood of sport. So I applaud the YMCA for that. I don't applaud them for not answering Matt and Vicky's messages to come in and talk to us on here and tell us what they're doing, because I would like to actually see something happening before it's too late.
Yeah.
And I forget where Elm Avenue is. You know, it really would like to see something happening. But the three of you, Lola, Finn and Dad, thank you for coming in.
Okay.
Keep putting that reports on Facebook, because we love Sunday night when the reports come in and to see how he's got on.
Yeah.
And that's great fun. We're back tomorrow night. We're not here on Thursday because I'm sitting up all night talking to her about the election, so I'm going to shut my eyes for half an hour. But the biggest shock... he's come back. Stuart Preston has returned off his world cruise, where he's been for the last month. So we've got no rock show tonight. So we're back to the blues. The wonderful Stuart Preston. He'll tell you all about that fantastic holiday. Bye-bye.